As a business and leadership mentor, wife, and mom, I know that building a legacy business as a high-performing female entrepreneur can be overwhelming when you play many demanding roles in your life. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can be a powerful, high performer in your career, plus enjoy a fulfilling marriage and be a great mom all at the same time. Join me and my guests every week to get the inside scoop on what it really looks like to build a high growth business while living a life truly aligned with your family and personal values. Hey, hey, welcome back to the Built to Last show. Looking forward to diving into what I think is going to be a very, very juicy topic. Really, it's the great debate when it comes to coaching programs. Who is responsible for getting clients' results? Are you responsible as the leader, the coach, the facilitator, the program creator? Or is it your client's responsibility to make sure they're getting results? We see both sides of the aisle. We have a lot of people who say, you know what? You're an adult. You bought my program. You knew what you were buying. You knew what you were getting into. You signed an agreement. You swiped your credit card. You have to be responsible because you're the one who's out taking action. I'm not responsible for the results you get or don't get. And that's one side of the argument. And the other side of the argument is, well, you sold me into a program through marketing, promotion, positioning, and sales, whether that was a sales page, sales video, a sales conversation. And now that I'm in the program, what's being delivered is not congruent with what I was told I was being sold into. And, you know, you need to provide me with the steps, the systems, the processes, the structure, and everything I need to be successful. So who's right? Who's wrong? Is someone right? Is someone wrong? Well, maybe by the end of this episode, you will have the same perspective, or perhaps you will have a different perspective on your role or the role of a group coaching program, whatever you call yourself, coach, mentor, leader, facilitator. When we are working with clients in a group setting, we really are becoming a facilitator at that point. You know, you really don't have to be a facilitator when you are coaching people one-on-one. You're doing a lot of guiding by asking questions. And sometimes one-on-one coaches will have a particular process that they're taking clients through, and each session has a particular theme and a certain direction or set of questions that that coach will tend to follow. That's how my husband coaches. He's a certified high performance coach. And when someone works with him for 12 sessions, every single person goes through the exact same 12 set in the exact same order, coaching sessions. And then he's got 12 more and then 12 more and then 12 more. And so he actually has a whole entire year's worth. Other one-on-one coaches show up to the call and the belief is, and there's nothing right or wrong with either one of these. I'm just sharing the two different pathways of one-on-one coaching. The other perspective is, it's your job as the client to come to the call with something in particular that you would like to discuss. And so you've got to be prepared as the client. You've got to bring that to the call. And the client really isn't relying on the coach to take them through some sort of system, process, or structure of one-on-one. So you're not really teaching when you're working with a client one-on-one. So you don't necessarily have to have the skill of teaching. You aren't necessarily creating a program. I mean, again, some coaches are teaching based on an actual program or methodology, which I think is fantastic. I actually think that's a little bit better than not having one at all. I'm speaking from experience on both sides as the client and as a coach. You do not really have to have super strong leadership skills, although you need to have some. And you don't really need to have facilitation skills. You need to have coaching skills. You need to have emotional intelligence skills, but you don't need to be a great teacher. You don't need to be a phenomenal leader, and you don't need to be a phenomenal facilitator. Now, when it comes to group coaching, you do need to be all those things. You do need to build those skills, and you do need to equip yourself with those skills. If you are the sole person who is leading and guiding, teaching, facilitating your group program. Now, once you get to a certain level as a business owner, you may not be the only person delivering inside of your group coaching program. In fact, a few years ago, when I was running my flagship group coaching program at the time, it was called Momentum. One of the first things I did was build a team around client delivery and client success. So I didn't go the direction of building a marketing team or hiring a marketing agency. I didn't have salespeople. I was a salesperson. And I wasn't building team on that side. I had a virtual assistant. I really wanted to have a bit more freedom. I wanted to hire people who were more expert at a particular skill than I was, because I was bringing that into the mix of delivery in my group coaching program. I think at the time I had four other people who were supporting our clients inside of that Momentum program. So you may not be the only person who's delivering. You may have a group coaching program where you aren't delivering at all. Now, typically, if you are just starting in group coaching, that's not the case. It's going to be you, because you've got to develop the methodology, the processes, the systems, and what is actually going to create success with your clients. But when you get bigger and bigger, you may not have to be the one in your company who's really developing those skills that I've listed. But the tide really does change when you transition from one-on-one coach to now I'm facilitating groups of people, because so much goes into that. You know, I was a high school business education teacher. That was my career in my early mid 20s. I left the classroom right around the time I turned 28 years old, because we had our daughter. She's now 13. So I exited the public classroom. I taught face to face in just a regular school that like what most of us went to. I also taught for a virtual high school. I taught for North Carolina Virtual Public Schools. So I was doing both, and I was taking our curriculum we were teaching in the face-to-face classroom, and I was actually one of the three people who was building our classes for the online setting in the department that I was a teacher in, business education. And so you have to understand, there's not a whole lot of difference when you're talking about working with kids and now you're working with adults, because a lot of those same learning styles, preferred learning styles, processing styles, preferred processing styles, any learning disabilities, anything behavioral issues like ADD, ADHD, all those things are still largely, or dyslexia too, with the adult, right? So it's not like we completely get rid of our ADHD. Sometimes adults acquire ADD or ADHD as an adult. And so they have the adult version of it. It's not like your learning style is, well, I guess your learning style could change if you really work on it. But you know, look, there's also a difference. I hope you caught what I said. We have learning styles and processing styles. We also have ones that we prefer over the others, which means that's not necessarily the way that we learn best. It's just preferred because it's what we have developed as most comfortable. My husband was telling me a story recently about one of his clients, and he was asking him questions as though he was a visual learner. So it was asking him to visualize something and then share with Sean what he was visualizing. And the client couldn't do it. The client couldn't do it at all. But the client told Sean that he was a visual learner. He was completely visual. But then when he was asked questions using the language for someone who's a visual learner, he couldn't do it. And he was shocked that he couldn't do it because he believed he was a visual learner and he wasn't. So why do I share that? Because when we are working with a group of adults, all in our same program at the same time, they are not all the same. They're not all the same. And they absolutely do not all learn or process information the way you do. That was one of the biggest things. You know, obviously I knew that when I was a classroom teacher of high school kids, but when I became an adult group program facilitator, it was like, I almost like forgot that, right? Because I knew how I created success. I knew what was required of me to create success. And it was heaps of action. It was taking a lot of uncomfortable action, and it was falling on my face, and it was failing. And you had to have so much internal motivation to do that. And so then it's very easy to then just go teach your clients how you did it, the way you did it, but that doesn't necessarily work for them. And I see that often with business owners who have created pretty large scale group coaching programs, and their whole mindset is, well, all, 100 or all 1,000 or all 5,000 of my clients, the only way this is going to work is if they go do it the way we did it. or the way I did it. But that worked for you because of your personality. Maybe your back was up against the wall. Maybe it worked for you because that's just how you roll and that's what you did. But it's not going to translate well to 100% of your adult clients inside your group coaching program. So we have to, as facilitators, we have to figure out really fast the personality style, personality traits. I mean, I didn't even mention there's a difference in leading introverts and extroverts. I know people are shocked sometimes when I tell them I'm an introvert because I can go stand on a stage. This is a very introverted thing, not for all introverts, but a lot of introverts are this way. We can go teach on a stage, stand on a stage and speak, and it doesn't matter how big the room is. You give us a topic that we are very confident in, that we love, and you can't shut us up. We won't shut up until we're done. You put us on a Zoom call with 25, 50, 100 other people, and we will not say a word. You won't even know that we're there. Sometimes we're even afraid to turn on our video. You put us inside of a small group, an accountability pod with 4 people or 5 people, we want to be the leader inside of it. Better not make us the leader. So the way that you're even working with and communicating with and guiding introverts and extroverts, it's not the same. I was listening to a presentation last year in 2023 in September, a guy by the name of Pace Morby. He has a community called Sub2 and he has over 20,000 students who are currently in his programs. And he gave a presentation on community and he listed off, I think, 20 or 25 different things about community that would make your program successful. And one of the things that he said he was able to do over time, when he first started, he was not doing this. This is something that he figured out over time and probably with the help of team as well. I'm going to make that assumption. He recognized that out of all his 20,000 plus clients, they represent 22 different avatars, 22 different avatars. And I remember one of the examples he gave was they have people who buy their programs, and this is all to do real estate investing. They have people who buy their programs who are stay-at-home moms, and they have been stay-at-home moms for a really long time. And he said, so I've got the stay-at-home mom avatar. And what I tell the stay-at-home mom to do is not the same thing that I'm going to tell like the guy who's already done a couple of deals. He's got a few deals under his belt, because a stay-at-home mom is not going to sit there and do 300 cold calls a day. She doesn't have the personality for that. It's not why she signed up, and she's never going to be successful. She's never going to take action, which means she's never going to reach the promised outcome of the program if I sent her down that pathway. See what I'm saying? So you've got to figure out, even in a group setting, our mindset around that is, well, everybody has to go through the exact same curriculum in the exact same way, at the exact same pace, in the exact same order, blah, 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 blah. And they all have to do this one thing, and there's no flexibility and there's no adaptation, and I am not going to be nimble at all. And if they just can't crack it, then that's on them, because they're an adult, they're responsible, and they know that they have to go work hard to get results. And so there's almost this idea that we have a bunch of lazy clients, or we have a bunch of clients who really don't want to do it or really don't care. And that's just not true. So I'm a very big believer that it's our job as a coach and a group program facilitator to create the most fertile ground, the most fertile environment and atmosphere possible, so that the people who we are selling into the program, number one, they better be ideal clients who can actually get the outcome that we're promising, because they should be meeting certain pieces of qualifiers or criteria to even gain entry into the program. It's our job to create that learning environment. And so how do we know if a client is really learning or not? Now, some of your clients will come into your program. I've had this occur more than once. And they'll say, I'm just going to learn everything and then I'm going to implement. Or sometimes you'll have people who do not renew. And one of the top reasons people will give you that they're not renewing is, I have so much information, now I need to go implement it. What did they do for 12 months when they were in your program? They were sitting there. They were on some of the calls. They were somewhat engaging inside the Facebook group. They were watching some videos. They were taking some notes, but they never took action, which this is what it means. When a client doesn't take action, they didn't learn. They didn't learn. So one of your greatest metrics inside of a program is, are my clients taking action? Because if they are not engaging at all and you have no idea what is going on with them, and they are MIA, fell off the face of the earth, your first job is you need to have somebody on your team, or if it's only you, you need to get them on the phone and you need to find out what's going on. I would re-qualify them to make sure they're the right fit for the program. I would figure out how to re-engage them. Oftentimes someone loses and they start disengaging because something has gone on in life. Typically, I see this kind of the same things, either a divorce, a health problem with themselves or with a family member, or issues with their kids, or health problems with, you know, parents and they're a caregiver, or something has just like gone kind of wrong in the life category. The other thing I'll see is, well, I haven't been taking action, so now I feel behind, and now I'm embarrassed and humiliated, so I stop showing up. Those two categories are the two main categories that people will disengage. It is our job as a group program facilitator to reach out to that person and pull them back in. Pick up the phone, call them, text them, do whatever you have to do for as long as you have to do until you get a response from those people. And it's then again, your job to re-qualify them and find out, hey, should I have let this person into my program in the first place? And if the answer is a clear no, then let them exit the program. They should stop paying for it then. We shouldn't just keep people into a program. I'll tell you why people keep people into a program, even when they know this person shouldn't be there, is because they don't actually have the money to pay them back, especially if the person paid in full and they have to pay them back because they're letting them out of the rest of the program. And so now they owe them 10 grand. They don't have the money to do it. Or they are thinking from such a scarcity mindset that they're adding up the numbers of, okay, well, what is my monthly recurring revenue going to go down to if I let these three people out of my program? And let's say people are paying like $1,500 a month to be in your program. That's $4,500 that you are now not going to have. And so that's typically top of mind for a group coaching program leader when they are thinking about, wow, this person probably is not the right fit for my program, but I'm just going to keep them in and we're just going to limp along. We see that a lot. So let me tell you what really prompted me to talk about this topic today. Earlier this morning, I actually think it came through last night, I received a text message from someone who's a great colleague of mine, has helped me out some, just a really incredible human being and has been in the coaching space for a long time. I won't tell you what industry. And also sold a coaching company and has given me just really, really great advice over the last few months. And I appreciate that so much. And here's the text message that I received this morning from this person. And this is quote unquote, what do you think the success rate is for all coaches across the board? Now, I had a follow-up question because I wasn't sure if this person meant how many coaches who have businesses actually make it in business and they stay in business and they're actually making money. I don't know if that's what he meant or if he meant what's the success rate of their programs, meaning what percentage of their clients are getting the outcome that's being promised to them at the point of marketing and sales. And so what I found out is the meaning of it was out of the X number of students, what percentage of them are reaching the promised outcome of the program? So if you have 10 students, what percentage of them are reaching the promised outcome of the program? If you have 50, if you have 100, if you have 1,000. So what I want you to do is think about, what is the outcome of your program? What are you promising? What is the promise? What are people going to get? So in my program, Amplify, that I run with my biz partner, Nikki, our promise is that you are going to add an additional 6 figures to your already existing business. And that additional 6 figures is going to come through refining, repackaging, and relaunching your group coaching program. So we're going to teach you how to refine it, how to repackage it, how to relaunch it, or in other words, maybe more simple words, how to create the group coaching program, how to fill it consistently with ideal clients, and then how to deliver a superior client experience so that you are increasing lifetime value of a client. So if a client comes into your $10,000 group coaching program, we want that client to turn into like, what if the lifetime value of that client was 6 figures? I've had clients who were in my $30,000 mastermind for years, and the lifetime value of that particular client was well over $100,000. That's what we want to see, right? So here was my answer. Now, my answer was slightly based on the industry he was talking about, and I'm not going to give that away. So quote unquote, and I'm just leaving out like the last part of it. This is what I responded with. I personally don't have enough data to know the answer confidently. What I'm seeing is a lack of tracking student progress and results. It's either not happening at all or data is only being gathered from the smaller percentage of students who are crushing it, because students typically who are crushing it, they are talking about it. They are present. They're engaged. They are posting their wins. They're posting their success. They're letting you know. And in a lot of programs, that might be 5%, 10% of your client base who's actually crushing it. Like they are like blowing past the actual outcome that you promised. So for my program, it would be like someone who came in and had a six-figure launch the very first time they launched, right? So that would be like crushing it. So those people tend to be talking about it a little bit more. Now, I know there's a lot of statistics that float around. If you go do a search engine search on it on Google, I've seen percentages like 5%, 7%, and 10%. Those are the most common ones of the number of clients who successfully complete an online course. Now, I don't know who came up with that statistic, because there's a big difference between a course and a group coaching program, and then even a mastermind. So what is it? Is it really just for self-study courses? If that's what they're talking about, then we can't apply that statistic to group coaching programs. Two different categories completely. So I know when I work with a client, we always install incredible tracking elements so that we aren't guessing the percentage of our clients who are getting results. We know. Look, at the end of the day, our responsibility as a group program coach and facilitator is to move our clients into action. Learning, you got to get this, learning is not taking place unless the client takes action consistently and frequently. I'm going to say that again. Learning is not taking place unless the client takes action consistently and frequently, specifically on the right activities in the right order, at the right time, and for the right amount of iterations. So your coaching program must be backed by teaching your clients the knowledge they need to take action, and also equipping them with the skills they need to go take action. And then you've got to have mechanisms in place so that you are tracking action. I'm going to use like some fancy terminology that I didn't even know what this meant a few years ago. Lead indicators and lag indicators. A lag indicator is something like I made X amount of dollars. So a lag indicator for my coaching program Amplify, it's 12 months long. The lag indicator would be how much money are you making from your launches, right? Because we're teaching you how to do launches and experiment cycles. And the reason our program is a year is because we want to teach you the methodology at the beginning when you first join. And then we want to track with you for the next 9 to 10 months, because we want you to do 6 to 8 experiment cycles selling into the exact same program. And so we want to be around to help you iterate those experiment cycles, improve at it, improve your numbers, because you're going to have some that do not go well and you're going to have others that do really well. And we want to see what's working and what's not and what do we need to change. We also want to help you enhance your curriculum and enhance your program based on the results your clients are getting. Because if we're going to go out and make a bunch of money selling group coaching programs, and that's what we all want to do, we are not serving our community. We are not truly making an impact if our clients are not getting results. If we are not equipping our students with the knowledge and the skills they need to take action. If we are not tracking the actual action they're taking. So the lag indicator for Amplify would be, did you add an additional 6 figures over the course of 12 months or not? What's a lead indicator? A lead indicator is what are the things that you are taking action on that lead to you generating an additional 6 figures through group coaching programs? Because you're not just going to all of a sudden make an extra 6 figures. There's a lot of actions you have to go take. So number one, I need to teach you what actions to take. Number two, I need to help equip you with the skills so that you can go take those actions. And then number three, I need to have some mechanisms in place so that you and I are tracking your lead indicators. What actions are you taking? How frequently are you taking them? What order did you take them in? And what were the results of those actions you took? And is it actually going to lead to the lag indicator or the outcome of our program, which is an additional six figures added to your business through group coaching, right? Okay. So that's what a group program is supposed to do. Provide a fertile environment rich with content, plus the right context and community that drives, empowers, and inspires action. If 85% of your client base is not taking action, this is something that I want you to look at. So take a, you know, if unless you're tracking this, you're just guessing of the percentage of clients that are getting, that are taking action versus not. But if you've got a large percentage, and honestly, even if it's, if you've got more than 15% of your clients not taking action, we need to change something. So if a large percentage of your clients are not taking action, it is not entirely a reflection on them. You do not have a bunch of lazy clients. You might have clients that shouldn't have been there, but you don't, you can't just lump them into this category of, oh, they're lazy. It is actually a reflection of the program and the facilitation of the program more than it is a reflection of your client's ability to take action. Clients will not put up with putting all the blame on them to get results. They're done with that because as an industry, we've been saying that for a really long time. Here's what your adult clients are craving, and here is what they need in order to take action and get results inside your program. Structure, systems, expectations, processes, inspiration, empowerment, belonging, connection, community, accountability, accessibility, personalization, implementation-based curriculum, reinforcement, growth tracking, and goal setting. Look, that's a short list, but it is a really, really good, solid start. So I want you to use that list to evaluate your program's ability to move your clients into action. Where are you falling short as a program developer and facilitator that is hindering your clients to go out and take action? Where can you enhance and where can you improve? That is something that we should always be evaluating inside of our program. Always. That we've got to know what to track. We have to know what to measure. We have to know what to listen for. We have to know what to look for. So use that list to evaluate your program's ability to move your clients into action. Once your clients are taking action, it's a whole different ballgame. It's so much more fun. Look, it is so frustrating to have a group of people in a group coaching program and very few of them are taking the action that you know leads to results. That is when you get so irritated that you will close your program down. I did that. Look, I teach this stuff. I have a master's degree in education. I was a teacher for a really long time. I've been the director of client success before. And so just because any of us are teaching something, it doesn't mean that we're not failing at it ourselves, because that's really where we grow and learn the most. So I want you to really learn from my mishaps and my mistakes and my just not relying on my expertise and what I knew to be true. And I let myself get so irritated and so frustrated because I just wanted to like scream, because I'm like, but this is not that hard. Like, just go out and take action. Just go take action. Just go take action. And there were some phenomenal elements of my program, but there were a couple of things that I wasn't doing quite well enough to ensure that my clients had everything that they possibly needed, or I had some of the wrong clients in the program. That was part of it. That was probably part more of it than anything, is I let a few too many people into the program who probably were not equipped to actually get the results of the program. They just didn't have certain things already in place that would have really helped them grow exponentially during the time that we were together. So it's a whole lot more fun when your clients are more involved. It's more fun for your clients as well. So if your 2024 goal is to master group coaching from a scalability, a profitability, and client success rate perspective, I want you to send me a direct message. You can send it on Facebook or you can send it on Instagram. And just shoot me the word mastery. And I'm going to send over details to our upcoming workshop series. It's a 5-day workshop series teaching you exactly how to do this. It runs from April 29th through May the 3rd. I'm also going to put the registration link inside the show notes. So you can click that link. You can register yourself. You'll join our Facebook group community. It's called The Scalable Coach. And we're going to teach the pants off of you. This is very engaging. It's very implementation based. We're going to help you create and map out your own group coaching program. What are you going to call it? Who's it for? How many people? What's the price point? How do you structure it? How do you deliver it? Then we're also going to teach you about experiment cycles, meaning how do I fill my group coaching program with the right people over and over and over again so that I am increasing and stabilizing my monthly recurring revenue. And I'm really creating this long-term growth and stability for myself and for my business and also for my clients. So shoot me a DM on social media, either Instagram or Facebook. Give me the word mastery and I will personally reach out to you and make sure we get you registered for that. We've also put the link inside the show notes so you can go register yourself. We'd love to see you on April 29th. If group coaching is your jam and you want to be a superior group coaching program facilitator in a drama, like run a drama-free group coaching program. It does not need to be stressful. It does not need to be full of drama. And I promise you, I've worked with enough people to know that without the right systems and structures, it's full of drama. It is full of stress. When you've got a well-oiled group coaching program machine, it is so much fun and you can scale it and profit from it so much easier as well. So until next time, remember to design a business and life that is built to last. Thank you so much for tuning into the Built to Last show. If you're loving the show and have gotten any value out of it for your business and life, would you mind doing two things? Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode and leave us a review. Our listener reviews helps us get more visibility and reach more people just like you. Help us make a difference for more entrepreneurs by helping them grow their businesses in a way that aligns with their life, family, and core values. Thank you so much for being part of our community and tuning into the show each week.